Blog Talk Radio.
Anyway, good morning and welcome to
Spiritual Wellness Sunday morning. I didn't send this. I sent out the email to everybody, but I didn't send out a text to everyone because the fewer people that join when we transition into the business meeting, the fewer people I got to disconnect. We want to thank everybody for getting up this morning. I know you had other things you could be doing. We are going to be doing Black History in the Bible first, and then we will transition into the business meeting. There is a short video that I want us to watch this morning. Not all that informative, but nevertheless, that was for me. I can't say what it'll be for somebody else. On the site, if you've been at the site, let me share my screen. And Sister Lorraine, did you get a chance to work on that document at all? I've forgotten to ask you.
I have not had a chance to work on it.
Okay.
That's the one for the business meeting, right?
Right. Yeah, I forgot to ask you about that prior to.
I'm sorry about that.
No worries. I should have reminded. Okay, can everybody see my screen?
Yes.
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 Okay, it should just be my desktop, I believe.
Oh.
As soon as I find out where I'm looking for, where it went. Okay. So it should have a video up here. Upon thy seed forever. Can you see that?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, so that's going to be the video that we will watch this morning. I did want to bring up the site, so let me do that and throw it over here, move it out the way. So let us do the necessary this morning. Let's do our statement of faith. And then pray in, and then we'll jump into this, try to keep us on schedule. Let me have you ladies to cover your heads. They're not already covered. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. I believe that all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 through 21. I believe there's one Elohim according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah, according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I'm a new covenant child of Yah, according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I'm of the royal priesthood, according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah, according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I am a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham, according to Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 through 29. I can do all things through Christ from Mashiach, which strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, now and forever. Amen and amen. Let us give Elohim a hand cup of praise on this morning. Hallelujah, Father. Thank you, Yah. We just glorify you on today. We lift you up. We magnify your name. We thank you for keeping us safe through the night, Father, and bring us again this morning. Hallelujah. So we glorify you on this day, Father. Hallelujah. 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 All right. If you see my screen, we're still in the Israelite Apostolic Handbook, Israelite Apologist Handbook. And on today, we are looking at how can you identify Israel using the Bible? Okay, and for those of us who have never been through this or didn't do this research previously, your reference chapters are Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses 15 through 68, Luke chapter 21, verse 24, and I believe Leviticus chapter 26. Let me look this up. Leviticus chapter 26 is also a reference. And is used a lot of times to help identify Israel. Maybe not. I'll have to look it up. But we know that you identify Israel today because Israel did not keep the promises of the Most High. And he said, if we did not keep the promises, then certain curses were going to come upon us as a people. Okay. Individually, I believe that you can be blessed and you can do well, but as a people, we will not. Overall, our people will fall plague to these curses. Okay, because they're a promise from the Most High. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 28. And what did I do with my Bible? All right, Deuteronomy chapter 28. And we're going to start in verse 15. And I will read in your hearing. Let me blow this up some more. Is that bigger on your screen?
Yes.
Too big or big? Just big enough?
Just big enough.
Okay. All right. But it shall come to pass, Deuteronomy chapter 28, starting in verse 15, and you will probably want to write these down if you don't have them. This is the Most High talking to Israel and really telling them, understand that once the Most High speaks something, especially if it has an if condition to it, okay? So the if condition does not, if the if condition doesn't evaluate the true, then the then condition won't be affected. But if the if condition ever evaluates the true, then the then condition falls into play. So over time, you know, the Most High, when we read these curses, understand that the Most High, Israel repented, they would go back into the land, for a generation or so, and then they would fall victim again, and these curses would be, reignited. And so it's like if you commit a crime and then you get out on parole, and then you're good for a while, and then you commit the crime and you get caught again, and then the penalty goes back into effect again. Okay, so let's look at this. But it shall come to pass if, always want to put a quote around if, okay, because this is what you have to, you know, the condition that you're evaluating. If thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of Yah, thy Elohim, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. So if we don't listen to his voice and obey and observe all his commandments and his statutes, then all these curses will come upon us. Cursed shalt thou be in the city, and cursed shalt thou be in the field. Okay, what's going on here? Why is my mouse not working here? Cursed shalt thou be, shall be thy basket and thy store. Cursed shall be the fruit of thy body and the fruit of thy land, the increase of thy kind and the flocks of thy sheep. Cursed shall be, shalt thou be when thou comest in, and cursed shalt thou be when thou goest out. Yah shall send upon thee cursing, vexation, rebuke, and all that thou settest thine hand unto, or to do, until thou be destroyed, until thou perish quickly because of the wickedness of thy doings, whereby thou hast forsaken me. Yah shall make the pestilence cleave unto thee until he have consumed thee from off the land, whither thou goest to possess it. Yah will smite thee with a consumption and with a fever and with an inflammation and with an extreme burning and with sword and with blasting and with mildew, and they shall pursue thee until thou perish. And thy heaven that is over thy head shall be brass, and the earth that is under thy feet shall be iron. And Yah shall make the rain of thy land powder and dust. From heaven shall it come down upon thee until thou be destroyed. And Yah shall cause thee to be smitten before thine enemies. Thou shalt go out one way against them and seven ways before them, and shall be removed into all kingdoms of the earth. And thy carcass shall be meat unto all fowls of the air and unto the beasts of the earth, and no man shall fray them away. Yah will smite thee with the botch of Egypt and with the hemorrhoids, with scab and with itch, whereof thou cannot be healed. Yah shall smite thee with madness and blindness and astonishment of heart. And thou shalt grope at noonday as the blind gropeth in darkness, and thou shalt not prosper in thy ways. And thou shalt be only oppressed and spoiled evermore, and no man shall save thee. Thou shalt betroth a wife, and another man shall lie with her. Thou shalt build a house, thou shalt not dwell therein. Thou shalt plant a vineyard, and shalt not gather the grapes thereof. Thine ox shall be slain before thine eyes, and thou shalt not eat thereof. Thine ass shall be violently taken away from before thy face, and shall not be restored to thee. Thy sheep shall be given unto thine enemies, and thou shalt have none to rescue them. Thy sons and thy daughters shall be given unto another people, and thine eyes shall look and fail with longing for them all the day long, and there shall be no might in thine hand. The fruit of thy land, all thy labor, shall a nation which thou knowest not eat up, and thou shalt be only oppressed and crushed always, so that thou shalt be mad for the sight of thine eyes which thou shalt see. I went up too far. And let me extend this window for myself. Okay. Yah shall smite thee in the knees and in the legs with a sore botch that cannot be healed, from the sole of thy foot unto the top of thy head. Yah shall bring thee and thy king, which thou shalt set over thee, unto a nation which neither thou nor thy fathers have known. And there shalt thou serve other gods, wood and stone. And thou shalt become an astonishment and a proverb and a byword among all nations, whither Yah shall lead thee. Thou shalt carry much seed out into the field, and shall gather but little in, for the locust shall consume it. Thou shalt plant vineyards and dress them, but shalt neither drink of the wine nor gather the grapes, for the worm shall eat them. Thou shalt have olive trees throughout all thy coast, but thou shalt not anoint thyself with oil, for thine olive shall cast his fruit. Thou shalt begat sons and daughters, but thou shalt not enjoy them, for they shall go into captivity. All thy trees and fruits of thy land shall the locust consume. The stranger that is within thee shall get up above thee very high, and thou shalt come down very low. He shall lend to thee, and thou shalt not lend to him. He shall be the head, and thou shalt be the tail. Moreover, all these curses shall come upon thee, and shall pursue thee, and overtake thee, till thou be destroyed, because thou hearken not unto the voice of Yah thy Elohim, to keep his commandments and his statutes which he commanded thee. And they shall be upon thee for a sign and a wonder, and upon thy seed forever. And so you have to look at this, forever. Okay, as long as we are disobedient, as long as we don't obey his commandments, then these curses would what? Pursue our people. Okay, forever. And that's why it's important that we first learn what's required and then do it. Now, again, I have to go up to the top and show you that individually you can be blessed. They said when the blessings and the curse come upon thee. So individually people can be blessed. But as a people overall, we will be cursed. And we, you know, even if we're blessed, we still will suffer from some aspects of the curse because our people suffer from it. So just like prejudice, or you know, we are on the job and we have to be 2 and 3 times better. Our resume has to look so much more stellar. And even with that, if push came to shove, in most cases, we're the first to be fired. If the economy goes down, we're the first to be let go. Okay. Last in, first out. Because thou servest not Yah thy Elohim with joyfulness and with gladness of heart for the abundance of all things, therefore shalt thou serve thine enemy, with which Yah shall sin against thee in hunger and in thirst and in nakedness, in want of all things, and he shall put a yoke of iron upon thy neck until he have destroyed thee. And Yah shall bring a nation against thee from far, from the end of the earth, as swift as the eagle flyeth, a nation whose tongues thou shalt not understand, a nation of fierce countenance, which shall not regard the person of old, nor shew the young. And he shall eat the fruit of thy cattle and the fruit of thy land until thou be destroyed, which also shall not leave thee either corn, wine, oil, or increase of thy kind, or flocks of thy sheep, until he have destroyed thee. And he shall besiege thee in all thy gates until thy high and fenced walls come down, wherein thou trustest throughout all thy land. And he shall besiege thee in all thy gates throughout all thy land, which Yah thy Elohim has given thee. And thou shalt eat the fruit of thine own body, the flesh of thy sons and of thy daughters, which Yah thy Elohim has given thee in the seas and in the straitness, wherewith thine enemies shall distress thee. So that the man that is tender among you and very delicate, his eyes shall be evil toward his brother and toward his wife, toward the wife of his bosom, and toward the remnant of his children, which he shall leave, so that he will not give to any of them of the flesh of his children whom he shall eat, because he has nothing left in him in the seas and in the straitness, and wherewith thine enemies shall distress thee in all thy gates. Now, this actually happened in 70 A.D., when the Most High, when Rome came to conquer Israel. Israel was already an occupied state by the Romans when Messiah was there. And Messiah went ahead and predicted that, you know, because they rejected him, that the nation would go ahead and eventually fall. And these verses 50 through 55 actually happened, and Jerusalem was besieged. It was surrounded, and I think the siege lasted for either 3 or 9 years. I think it was 3 years. I have to go look. But it could have been as long as 9 years. And so the people were starving, and they began to eat their own children. Okay, and now he's saying that the tender man, you know, him that wasn't really like a warrior or anything, a merchant or whatever, they would eat their children and wouldn't share it with their, you know, they would kill their child and eat them and wouldn't share it with the rest of the family. So they're all, you know, in a bad way. So that he will not give to any of them of the flesh of his children whom he shall eat, because he has nothing left him in the seas and in the straitness, wherewith thine enemies shall distress thee in all thy gates. The tender and the delicate woman among you, which would not venture to set the sole of her foot upon the ground for delicateness and tenderness, her eyes shall be evil toward the husband of her bosom, and toward her son, and toward her daughter, and toward her young one that cometh out from between her feet, and toward her children which she shall bear, for she shall eat them for want of all things secretly in the siege and straitness wherewith their enemies shall distress thee in thy gates. If thou wilt not observe to do all the words of this law that are written in this book, that thou mayest fear this glorious and fearful name, Yah thy Elohim, then Yah will make thy plagues wonderful, and the plagues of thy seed even great plagues, and long continuance, and sore sickness, and of long continuance. Moreover, he will bring upon thee all the diseases of Egypt, which thou hast was afraid of, and they shall cleave unto thee. Also, every sickness and every plague, which is not written in the book of this law, them will Yah bring upon thee until thou be destroyed. And you shall be left few in number, whereas you were as the stars of heaven for multitude, because thou wouldest not obey the voice of Yah thy Elohim. And it shall come to pass that as Yah rejoiced over you to do you good and to multiply you, so shall Yah rejoice over you to destroy you and to bring you to naught. And you shall be plucked off from the land, whether thou goest to possess it. And Yah shall scatter thee among all people from the one end of the earth even unto the other. And there thou shalt serve other gods, which neither thou nor thy fathers have known, even wood and stone. And among these nations shalt thou find no ease, neither shall the sole of thy foot have rest. But Yah shall give thee there a trembling heart and a failing of eyes and sorrow of mind. And thy life shall hang in doubt before thee, and thou shalt fear day and night, and shall have none assurance of thy life. In the morning thou shalt say, Would Elohim it was even, or evening, and at evening thou shalt say, Would Elohim it were morning, for the fear of thine heart wherewith thou shalt fear, and for the sight of thine eyes which thou shalt see. And Yah shall bring thee into Egypt again with ships. Now, this is this right here, and Yah shall bring thee into Egypt again with ships. You need to underline that, because Egypt represents bondage. And the Most High said, now, you can walk from Israel to Egypt. So this bringing us back to Egypt in ships is a different type of bondage. It is a bondage that is not in Egypt, but Egypt means house of bondage. So he said we're going to go back into bondage in ships. Okay. By the way, whereof I spake unto thee, thou shalt see it no more again, and there shall you be sold unto your enemies for bondmen and bondwomen, and no man shall buy you. And as no man shall buy you means that you shall not be redeemed. Okay, we were bought as slaves, but we had no kinsman redeemer to come and get us out. And then let's go to Luke 21 and 24. See, let's start in verse 20. And when you shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is nigh. Then let them which are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let them which are in the midst of it depart out, and let not them that are in the countries enter thereinto. For these be the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. But woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days, for there shall be great distress in the land, and wrath upon this people. And they shall fall by the sword, and shall be led away captive into all nations, and Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. So Messiah is giving the verdict of what's going to happen to Jerusalem and to Israel, being carried away into all nations, and that Jerusalem would be occupied and trodden down by the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. That is until his return. So the real people, the true people of the land, are not supposed to be in the land. As Jews, as Israelites, until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. And so this is one of the reasons that a lot of brothers and sisters are trying to figure out when is the time of the Gentiles fulfilled. My understanding is not fulfilled until Messiah returns. Okay, and he will gather us. That's why he says, I will gather you. And so who's in the land now? Gentiles. Even though they have reestablished the nation, Israel is not supposed to be reestablished until Messiah returns. And so this is how we know that the people who are in the land currently are not the real people. And this is why the people who are in the surrounding country, like the president of Egypt, what was his name? I think his name was Mubarak. I think it's the one that they quoted. When they went to reestablish Israel, he said, we will never accept them. Why? Because they left here black and returned white. These are not the people of the land. They know. It's not because they are Jews. It's because they know that they aren't the real people of the land, and they're making a claim to the land. Okay? So we have to understand this from that position. I did want to deal with this. Because we're told about a prophecy in Deuteronomy chapter 28. And Yahshua scattered thee among all people from the one end of the earth even unto the other. And there thou shalt serve other gods, which neither thou nor thy fathers have known, even wood and stone. Now, this other part to this where he says he will send us back into verse 6-8. And Yahshua bring thee into Egypt again with ships, by the way whereof I spake unto thee. Now, when there is a prophecy that the Most High gave to Abraham, in Genesis 15 and 13, he said unto Abram, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall be afflicted. They shall afflict them 400 years. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge, and afterwards they shall come out with great substance. Now, we know that the Most High doesn't throw hand grenades. What do I mean by that? When the Most High says something, it has to happen exactly as he has said it. Okay. And he said that they would be afflicted 400 years. Okay. Can't be 399. Can't be 429. Has to be 400 years. So when we look at this, and they always say that we were in bondage in Egypt. We've looked at this before, and we know that we were not we were a stranger in Egypt. And we served them, but we did not serve them 400 years. And it says that we would be, here's the key to this, in a land that is not ours. Can anybody tell me what land Joseph put Jacob in when he came into Egypt?
Goshen.
Okay. Who did Goshen? Did the Most High promise Israel Goshen?
Well, yeah, I would think so. He said every place that Abraham walked.
Every place that Abraham walked. The land of Israel, the land that was promised to Abraham, was from the Nile River to the Euphrates River. So let's bring up a map. And this is just, you know, again, and that's not going to get it. I might do. Kind of blurry. Still not detailed enough. I can see the Nile, but I can't see. This should be the Euphrates here. Tigris and Euphrates. Yeah, this should do. Let me try to make this bigger. All right, can everybody see this map on my screen? Okay, this is the Nile River right here, this line going through here, all the way down here. Okay, so this is not helping me. All right, so everybody see this river here that's running in this from northern Egypt all the way down here? That's the Nile River. And then over here, see this river right here, starting way up here and coming down through this way, the, hold on a minute, that's not what I want. I don't want the Persian Gulf. See where it says Tigris and Euphrates rivers?
Yeah.
Okay. So here's the Nile. Come on, stop that. This is the Nile River. This is the Tigris and the Euphrates River. Israel is supposed to go from here. Got to learn not to go over those circles. From all the way over here. And can you see my mouse?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So all the way from over here. Come on. All the way over here. Right now, Israel only occupies this little sliver right there. Everybody see that?
Mm-hmm.
That little sliver right there, that's all Israel occupies. But what the Most High gave Israel was from the Nile River to the Euphrates River. Okay? Now, the land of Goshen, where Israel was located at, when they were in Egypt, where, you know, where Pharaoh took them captive at, was, if we look at the Nile River and the Nile, come on, the Nile Delta in here,
mm-hmm.
Goshen is right up in here, okay? Right up, you see where those three, like, rivers come into the Nile?
Right.
Goshen was right up in there. That's in Egypt. But that land was given to Abraham by the Most High. So when Jacob came into Egypt, Israel was not placed into a land that wasn't theirs. It was theirs, but they didn't control it yet. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So they were not in a land that wasn't theirs. It was already theirs by promise. And when he brought them out of Egypt into Canaan, which what we look at now as being Israel and that area, was known as Canaan. When he brought them into the land of Canaan and gave them the promised land, only up under one king did they control all that the Most High gave them. That was up under David. They owned everywhere from the Nile River until the Euphrates River and all that land in between, as far down as, I believe, I could be mistaken, but I believe it would have, come on. It would have cut across all of this right here and north. So way bigger than what Israel is right now. And so our people only occupied and controlled all of that one time. And that was up under David. Solomon had it, but then Solomon started, doing things he wasn't supposed to do. And so the Most High start causing Solomon's enemies to come against him and to start taking back the land that the Most High had given them. But it was still theirs. It's just that the kings weren't doing what they were supposed to do. And so the Most High first sent in, the Egyptian king So, to attack Solomon from Egypt and start taking back land that the Most High had given Israel, okay, to be under their control. But the borders of Israel are supposed to be from the River Nile to the River Euphrates, and that's what it's going to be in the future. Now, when we talk about, it says 400 years. How long were they in Egypt the first time?
180.
What does the scripture say? Go to Exodus chapter 12 and verse 40. Exodus 12 and 40. And how long does it say that the children of Israel were in Egypt?
430 years.
430 years. Now that's close, but is it exactly 400 years?
No.
It's over. It's over. Now, the truth of the matter is, the Most High said that they would be in bondage for 400 years. Let's go back to that prophecy.
Afflicted 400 years.
400 years, okay. And but in the fourth generation, so let's read the rest of this, okay? And And he said unto Abraham, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge, and afterwards they shall come out with great substance. And thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace. Thou shalt be buried in a good old age. Generation they shall come hither again. For the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. So they were supposed to return in the fourth generation. Now, from the time that the promise is supposed to be that they would be in Egypt, from the time that Abraham was given the promise until the giving of the law. That is the amount of time that they would be in Egypt. Okay. But in being afflicted and up under bondage in Egypt, they were only in Egypt from the time of Abraham to the time that the Most High brought them out was 430 years. From the time that Jacob entered into Egypt and to the time they departed was only 215 years. Now, how long were they in bondage during that time? Probably between 64 and 120 years. That they were enslaved by the Assyrian pharaoh that took over. So they didn't really, this is a dual prophecy. They didn't go into Egypt in bondage and ships. So this prophecy doesn't apply to when Abraham and Jacob and his descendants went into Egypt because they did not enter into bondage in Egypt through ships. Okay, so it's talking about a future bondage and that they would enter into that bondage via ships. Now, I believe it was Trump, I could be wrong, that acknowledged that, Trump acknowledged that the slaves in America had been here, in slavery, the 400-year anniversary was, in 2019? But it doesn't say, and it actually does say, I'm going to have to look at that again. Because there's some things there that is not lining up. But anyway, a lot of people try to equate us being in bondage in America to that 400 years. I'm not so sure that it actually applies. That this place actually applies. But I will relook at it. But I know that Egypt, the place in Egypt, when Abraham walked in Egypt, he was afflicted. And the Most High started the clock there. But when Joseph when Jacob entered into Egypt, Israel was not in bondage. They actually entered into Egypt in what? Great favor. Joseph was second in command of Egypt, second to Pharaoh. He put Jacob and his brothers in Goshen, which was the best of the best in Egypt, the best of the best land. And I truly believe that when the Most High caused Moses to be born was because it was time for them to come out, and he wasn't going to be able to get them to come out. So I want you to put yourself in this frame of mind or consider this. I want you to imagine the best land, the best neighborhood in whatever city you're in. And so whatever is convenient for us today, you know, they got the best shopping malls, they got no crime, yada, 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 the biggest mansions and that kind of stuff. This is what Goshen would equate to in its day. It had the best land. It was the best of the best in Egypt. Joseph made sure that Israel was placed there. And Pharaoh, the Pharaoh that was over Egypt at that time, agreed with Joseph. Give your people Goshen. Now, this had to be inspired by the Most High, because Goshen is where Abraham walked, and it was their own land. So the Most High put Israel into the land that he had promised to Abraham, and it was the best of the best in Egypt. They did not have it hard in Egypt because they were the royal herdsmen. That's what Israel's job was to watch after Pharaoh's herd. They were herdsmen, and this occupation was an abomination to the Egyptians. So it was to keep them separate from the Egyptians, but they still mingled. But by setup, they had the best of the best. They were the royal herdsmen for Pharaoh. And they were detested by the Egyptians of the day because they were herdsmen. But they weren't persecuted. And they had favor. So if the Most High put you in a place and blessed you, and you had the best of the best, would you want to leave? And the answer is no. You ain't have to answer that. The Most High blesses you and puts you in the best of the best. You ain't going to want to leave. I don't care who you are. He's got to do something to make you want to leave. So he causes a Pharaoh to conquer Egypt and then to persecute the Hebrews and to make them to cry out and want to leave. Other than that, they wouldn't want to leave when they got into the wilderness, want to go back to Egypt. Because they had it good in Egypt, even when they were under persecution. Now, what does that sound like? If you look at the United States of America and you compare it to all other nations, where would we possibly go at this time and at this time in the world that we would have it better than we have it here? And what would make us want to leave? What do you sisters think?
What would make us want to leave? Nothing.
Nothing? Okay. Anybody else?
If we got it good here and everything is okay, why would you leave?
You wouldn't want to. But this is not our land. As bad as we have it, if we go anywhere else in the world, as a people, we are ranked as a people in this country, we are ranked 19th in the world economically. So out of 206 nations or 216 nations, we're ranked number 19, the African, so-called African-American in North America. So not only wealth-wise, we're richer than what, most countries?
In most countries, sir.
So what would ever make us want to leave here? So let me ask you, sisters, a question. If you could leave the U.S. right now, where would you go?
Don't know. I really don't know, because I don't know what other countries are like. Right. Not really cancer.
Same here.
Okay. Well, you hear people saying we need to leave the U.S. all the time, right?
Right.
Yeah.
But, and they're wanting to go to Israel. We had people to leave here and go to Israel. Do they have it better than you have it here?
I don't know.
Really should look them up and see how they're doing in Israel. They're not doing well. Okay. Liberia, the country Liberia was actually set up for us to actually come to Liberia and for it to be our nation if we wanted to leave the U.S. Anybody know that?
I didn't know that.
Yep. So probably need to look up Liberia as well. But, you know, our African brothers and sisters, they are notorious for backstabbing us. Okay. And so we get there. If you talk to most Hamites, they don't identify, even people from blacks from the islands don't identify with what? American blacks.
Right.
They actually detest us. Okay. So where would you go?
I don't know.
And this is the problem that a lot of our people are running into, because they got a lot of brothers saying, hey, you need to leave the U.S. The U.S. is Babylon. And, you know, you got to come out of Babylon. But are our people, here's another question for you. Where was Israel supposed to be scattered to?
In all the land, all nations.
So how can the U.S. be the only one that's Babylon?
Right. Absolutely.
Their arguments don't make what, sense?
No.
And so, you know, it is a lot of it's a lot of rigmarole. It's a lot of what's the word I'm looking for here? There's a word that when people just try to paint a picture. I don't want to say spin. It's not what I'm looking for. It's not the word I'm looking for. It is wow. It's where they just give you bad information to make you try to make a decision. Okay. And so no matter where we would go in the world today, even if we had the money, there's no guarantee that the people in that land would treat us like we belong there. Number one. Number two, if they don't feel we actually belong there, if anything happens, then the first people they want to look at is who, the stranger? To kick them out of the land, to do whatever. Now, as my understanding that we're not supposed to do anything until Messiah returns, and we need to be doing what it is that he told us to do. Until he returns. Don't let him come back and find us not doing what he said to do. So if he says he would gather us, then he will make the way for us to return.
Yeah.
That means he has to be in control of wherever we're returning to. So I asked the brothers in Israel, they used to go and into their rooms and, you know, there's a lot of brainwashing going on. And they have some very eloquent speakers, but, you know, I tell them, hey, you cannot pull the wool over my eyes. Exactly how it is over there. And they would want to give me a whole lot of what amounted to lies. I said, because I can go Google this. And so I just really want you to tell me how it is really there and why aren't y'all taking over the land? So they are there in the land, but they have no power in the land. and they're still trying to kick them back out of the land. They have no power there now, and they are trying to get along with the inhabitants of the land. So you can say you're in your homeland, but you are, your land is still occupied.
Right.
Israel has the largest gay population in the world. And right there in Jerusalem, they have the largest gay parade. If it was the true people of the book, do you think that they would honor that?
No.
So it tells you that it's not the right people in the land. And our people, I said, if you're going to go over there, then you need to be doing what the Most High told Joshua to do. Tear down all their altars, tear down their ashrams, tear down everything that they use to worship, what, false gods. But they're trying to get along. So it's not time to be there. But we know that Jacob's trouble is coming. And Jacob's trouble is our persecution again. And the Most High is going to have to deliver us out of it. We won't have the power to deliver ourselves out of it. He has to do it. The bottom line is, we need to go back and relook at some of these prophecies. Good morning.
Good morning.
Is now in the conference.
Okay, let me mute your, line. Okay. So, by prophecy is how you find out who Israel is. And if you aren't familiar with those prophecies, then how many of us know that prophecy, or let me say it this way, are the conditions that the Most High put in place for Israel? Number one, are they forever? And this is participation time. Are they forever? Sister Lorraine, Sister Denise.
Are the
curses that the Most High put on Israel, are they forever?
I don't think so. I think that's until he comes back.
Yeah.
Until he comes back. Until he comes back, are they forever?
Yeah.
Okay. Does the history that Israel would do wrong and the Most High would send them into captivity, then they would repent and cry out to him and he would deliver them?
Yeah.
Okay. So if that's the history, then these curses were implemented, what, more than one time?
Yeah.
As long as we would do right, we would be in the land. Whenever we would do wrong, we would get what? Kicked out of the land.
Right.
Okay. And then this last time, we were scattered into all the nations of the world. He scattered us what? Globally. When we were taken captive before, we would be taken captive by the Babylonians. Those are our neighbors. We'd be taken captive by the Assyrians. Those were our neighbors. Then when even the Greeks and the Persians, those are neighbors of Israel. So if we went into captivity into those lands, we wouldn't be far from Israel. But then when he said into every nation, we find ourselves all over the globe, not just in those few nations. So we got kicked out of the land. We got kicked out of Jerusalem, out of Israel, and then shipped globally into slavery, into captivity. Now, globally, everywhere we go, I don't think there's a nation yet that's still holding us as slaves. I think some states in the United States, like Mississippi, was still doing it even up until the 70s or 80s, and may even still be doing it in some places. So you got to be careful down there where you at, Sister Mary, because there are still places that they still want to treat us like slaves. Hold on a second. All right, amen. Do what you need to do, my sister, and you can call me on that, what you just text me. Let me know. And if you need to leave now, I understand. Okay, so we got an emergency that just came up, and that needs to be dealt with. So I'm going to cancel the rest of this meeting, and if you guys will, if you go to the site, review this video, Upon Thy Seed Forever. And we'll discuss it on next week. Amen?
Amen, brother. Thank you.
Okay. All right. And so...
thank you, brother.
All right, amen. So, Sister Denise, if you'll pray us out.
Heavenly Father, thank you for this day, Lord. And thank you for the lesson. And whatever emergency we have, Lord, go with us and guide us, lead us, and direct us. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
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 All right, so I will get in contact with you guys. We will meet again on Tuesday. I'll get in contact with you guys about trying to reschedule the business meeting. And have a blessed rest of your day.
You also. Thank you.
All right, shalom.
Everything that lives and breathes, you made it happen with just words. You have no beginning, and you have no ending. I think it's amazing, it's beyond my understanding. So what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you, 'cause without you there's no me. I need a hand, 'cause I'm just a man. You always there, teach me the way, I pray that I never fall away. Yahuwah, he lives forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim is worth a perfect, and his kingdom will reign forever. Sometimes all I wanna do is jump, lift my hand up high and stomp. Clean me with the water, baptized, get dumped. I'm filled with the rock and now I'm drunk. Oh, one time for Shabbat. I'm working every day, can't wait for my rest. Holy days coming and I'm impatient. Hanging with the Mishpachah, good vibrations. So what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you, 'cause without you there's no me. I need a hand, 'cause I'm just a man. Always there, teach me the way, I pray that I never fall away. Yahuwah, he lives forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim is worth a perfect, and his kingdom will reign forever. So what can I do if I don't? Without you, there's no me. I need a